We're in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Gratitude's a lost art. Being thankful to those who give to us doesn't come naturally. We got to think about it. We shouldn't. It ought to be a knee-jerk reaction that we're grateful and that we express that gratefulness, but sadly it's not. We've given hundreds of gifts to people all over the country, and I can count on my two hands how many thank yous that we have received. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston, Illinois. Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him. More importantly, God gives us thousands upon thousands of gifts and answers to us every year. He blesses us over and over again. He gives us breath. I tell you, if you have emphysema or you have trouble breathing, breath is a big deal. It ought to be a big deal to all of us and be thankful for the breath He gives us and food He gives us. Our eyesight He gives us, and I'll take a step further. Some of you don't have the ability to see in color, but color, it's wonderful to be able to see in color. And if you have that, that's a blessing from the hand of God. Our hearing lost some of that this year. Really appreciate all the years of hearing very well and grateful for hearing aids today. Our ability to walk. As you get older, sometimes those knees get tightened up or your legs make it rough to walk. And some have to walk with a walker or a cane, but thank God we can walk. It's a blessing from His hand. Our shelter, our health, all of those things. He delivers us over and over again. He mends family problems that we've taken to Him, and He takes care of them. He heals a disease. He supplies a need. He answers a prayer. He gives us a victory over a trial. He comforts us in a sorrow. He pours out a blessing. He saves somebody that we're burdened for and we've been praying for. He saves their soul. It's a point of rejoicing. And on we could go. He's always doing good things for us. In His earthly ministry, Jesus went about doing good. And He's still going about doing good today. Did His blessing, however, mean enough to you to write it down, to remember it? Did it mean enough for you to stop and praise Him? Today I want you to look with me at verse 17 as I preach on the phrase from verse 17, but where are the 9? Where are the 9? Let's start with prayer and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus now I pray, you'll help us to be challenged by these verses and by your word. Heavenly Father, help us in this service. If there's one here who's lost, I pray, oh God, that they would yield themselves to you and surrender to you and get saved today. If there's one who's not been keeping track of all the blessings, and in their prayer life it's just been ask me, ask me, ask me, and it hasn't been, I need to praise you. I pray, oh God, that you will rejuvenate us in the area of thanksgiving today and gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The outline looks at groups in this message. So, number one, it starts with 10 unclean men. 10 unclean men. 10 men in a certain town had the dread disease of leprosy. Leprosy is a disease of scabs and nodules and white shining spots on the cheek and the eyelids and the nose and the ears and the hands and the feet. And so this is all over their body. It eats into the joints in their hands and their feet and degenerating the nerves of the skin. It's very painful. Most notably, though, leprosy is highly contagious, or it was at least in Bible days. Therefore, those with leprosy and any who touched them were considered unclean and avoided, to be avoided and quarantined by Jewish law. They were to cry, unclean, unclean, just to keep everybody else at bay so that they wouldn't transfer their disease to someone else. The fact that Naaman, think about this, the fact that Naaman was a captain, still a captain in Syria, and had leprosy is noteworthy in 2 Kings chapter 5, because it makes it clear that Syria didn't exclude lepers from their society like Israel did. And so, in 1874, a Norwegian doctor discovered a microorganism that causes leprosy. His name was Hansen. And so leprosy, called Hansen's disease today, still exists, though it's rare. The World Health Organization says there are 208,000 cases worldwide a year in mostly in Asia and Africa. In America, approximately 100 are diagnosed each year with Hansen's disease. By contrast, India has 75,000 cases. Brazil, Indonesia, Mozambique, and Congo round out the top five, which represent 80% of all the cases in the world. So 10 quarantined lepers stood far off, far away in verse 12 because of the law and the fear of spreading their disease, and they yelled or they called out to Christ for mercy and compassion in verse number 13. They were desperate for help. They'd heard of Christ, the great physician, but it would take a miracle to heal them, and they were ostracized from society. They would love to be able to just get healed and get back in. You remember how bad it was when we had to be quarantined all the time? Well, they were quarantined for the rest of their life unless they had a miracle. Imagine how their hopes soared as they considered their good fortune that Jesus Christ was going to cross their path. And here he comes. And folks, we all have the leprosy of sin that will one day separate us from God and from heaven. We all have that sin. We are all unclean. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But consider our good fortune that somewhere along the line, Jesus Christ intercepted our path. I mean, there was a time when we came into contact with somebody who told us about Jesus. We heard about his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. and that we could be forgiven of our sins and have a home in heaven with God. Those 10 lepers didn't merit or deserve their healing, and we don't deserve our salvation either. But when we repent and believe on Christ, He saved our soul. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We called. They called. We called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, there ought to be some kind of rejoicing and thanksgiving going on here today, because we called and He saved us. Amen. Luke chapter 17 and verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now the word mercy means compassion. They begged for Him to have mercy on them. Verse 14 says, when He saw them, seeing, eyesight is the key to compassion. When He saw them, He had mercy. The Bible teaches that sight precedes compassion. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye hath affected mine heart. In Matthew 9:36, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. In Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Jesus sees us in our need. Does Jesus care? We just sang about it. And it ended up with, He saw them. And that's why He cares. He sees us when we pray to Him with our petition. Listen, nothing is too small for God. Whatever you're going through in your life. Here's a widow. She loses a key. Oh, she's all worked up about it. But she goes to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord shows her where the key is. Amen. God answers our prayers. By the way, that'll work for somebody married too. God answers our prayers. He has compassion. The question is, do you have compassion? Do you have compassion on others? In 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We ought to be seeing other people's needs, and it ought to strike a note in our heart of compassion on them, so that we are giving to them. We are caring for them. So Christ gave us a commandment, gave them a commandment to go to the priests, and that's suggesting that they were Jewish. In other words, under Jewish law. We know that Samaritans and Jews didn't associate with each other. It was strange that Jesus went through Samaria and talked with that Samaritan woman. You remember that. But they didn't have any dealings with each other. But this sole Samaritan was likely allowed to associate with these 9 Jews because they were all unclean. And since they were all unclean, they were all in the same boat, so to speak. And so also deliverance from other diseases was called healing. But deliverance from leprosy was usually called cleansing. We only have a couple of situations where that it was called healing. In every other situation, it's called cleansing. According to the law, in Leviticus 13 and 14, in the Old Testament, when a leper thought he was cleansed, he had to be examined and approved from the quarantine by the priest. He had to go to the priest. And so Jesus said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now I want you to notice that there was no evidence of cleansing or healing yet. There's no evidence. He just said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Therefore, they would have hesitated to go to the priest without healing because it would be foolish and it would elicit a strong rebuke to them for having come and still have the leprosy and maybe even spreading it to the priest. So, but he told them to go to the priest. It's similar to Naaman in the Old Testament and what the prophet told him to do, and that was, didn't make sense. Go wash yourself in the dirty Jordan River and you'll come clean. You'll be healed of this leprosy. And so, but as they obeyed and they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. And they realized these 10 lepers as they took off for the priest. They said, look at this. Look at the spots are gone. That, what happened to the scabs? Well, they're gone. Wow. And they're on their way to the priest to verify it. Their healing was sudden and immediate and visible. And so they knew that they had been healed whenever they obeyed. Naaman obeyed and he was healed. The 10 lepers obeyed his command and they were healed. Remember that hearing the gospel doesn't save anyone. Just because you sit in a Bible-believing church, you say, boy, I like that church. I just like how they say things. I just like the form. It's the substance that's important. The gospel is important. And just hearing it doesn't save you. It's only as you act on it and obey the Bible and come to Christ to wash away your sins that He saves your soul and you become a Christian with a home promise to you in heaven. It's when you obey. Obey. You must hear His word and act on it. And that's what these 10 lepers did. They heard what Jesus said and they acted on it. And that's what Naaman did. He heard what the prophet said and he acted on it. So we have 10 lepers, unclean men, who cried out to Jesus from a distance for mercy. He heard them, saw them, and told them what to do, and all 10 obeyed, and they were cleansed or healed. Oh, what a great day. This was a great day for those 10 lepers. Make no mistake about it. First, we see 10 unclean men. Secondly, the passage reveals 9 ungrateful men. 9 ungrateful men. You would expect all 10 of these men to run to Jesus and thank Him for healing, wouldn't you? You know, the healing came from Jesus, it's obvious. They may be afar off from here to the back door, perhaps. Had to be an earshot range for them to yell and Jesus hear them. Okay, so they couldn't have been that far away. And they cry. Jesus heals them. They're amazed at the healing. And instead of all coming here, they all go to they head for the priest. Now, you'd think that some would turn back and say thank you. I like what Wiersbe wrote about this scene. He said they should have formed an impromptu men's chorus and sung Psalm 103 together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. They should have been singing about it. You'd think they'd praise God. You'd think that they would thank Jesus for Jesus passing by their way or for them being able to get His attention as He passed by with the throng, I'm sure, around Him, for Him taking time to address them and their need, and certainly for healing them, good night, you would think that they would all come forward and thank Him, nine of them. Psalm 107, verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." It's sad that we rejoice and enjoy the gifts and forget the giver. We're quick to cry out and pray every time there's a need. We're quick to cry out and pray. Oh, yes. We're slow to return and praise. In 1618, Martin Rinkhart, remember that name, Rinkhart, age 31, was called to be a pastor of a church in Eilenburg, Germany, just as the bloody 30-year war began. He spent the whole war, 30 years, actually 32 years, serving those needy people in that city and in his church. The German population dwindled from 16 million to 6 million. That's how bad it was. 10 million people died or left. Because Eilenburg was a walled city, a lot of people went there for refuge, which led to overcrowding in the city and therefore famine, not enough food to go around, and deadly disease. Various armies marched through their town, leaving even more destruction. And then things got worse. The plague of 1637 was particularly destructive and killed a lot of people. Pastor Rinkhart was the only minister left there to care for the sick and the dying. The other ministers had left or died. What a difficult assignment he had as he conducted, as many as listened to this, 40 funerals a day. People were dying like flies, including the funeral of his own wife. Yet in spite of the war and the plague and the death all around him and the sorrow within his heart for his wife, he was able to give thanks to God with a grateful heart. This is amazing. Pastor Rinkhart wrote a hymn about it. It's called "Now Thank We All Our God." And here's what he wrote from his heart, having seen all this death and destruction. Verse 1, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom His world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today." His love is ours today. "Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, to keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills of this world in the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Spirit blessed, who reign in highest heaven, the one eternal God from heaven and earth adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore." Wow. Man, for somebody to go through what he went through and still have this in his heart to write, and God gave it to him, and he put it down. I think it's in our songbook. If it's not, it should be. Number 41 in our songbook. Brethren, we have no excuse for not praising God. No excuse. We may have challenges, but nothing like he had, nothing like he faced. In Luke chapter 17, these nine lepers moved on and passed by Jesus. How could they do that? That means that 90% of those who were healed did not even say thank you. What a shame. In a congregation like this, maybe 250 today, I don't know. But if it's 250, that would 90% would be 225. Didn't say thank you. didn't say, praise be to God, didn't worship. It's still true today. For many, gratitude has become a forgotten art. Failing to write thank you notes shows that you take the gifts for granted from others. Or worse, that you expected of them. I'll never forget one brother told me when we gave him a gift, he looked at it and he says, is that all? I kind of thought there would be more. And I thought, wow, see if we give you anything else. People think like that because Jesus thought like that. But where are the nine? He evaluated his gift to them and said, wow, where did they go? Couldn't they even say thank you? Mothers, teach your children to be thankful. Teach them to write thank you notes and say it with sincerity to those who bless them. The nine never said a word of thanks. We have no record that even after they went to the priest that they came back and said, hey, Jesus, just wanted to make sure that you knew. I appreciate what you did for me. Not a word. Not a word. And Jesus took note of it. By the way, God still takes note of it when we're not appreciative and when we're not thankful, when we don't have gratitude. And Jesus showed us that when he said, but where are the nine? Finally, this passage leads to one unusual man. There are 10 unclean men. 9 ungrateful men. And there's one unusual man. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Only one of the 10, or 10%, subsequently turned back to say thank you to Jesus and fell on his face to worship God. He was so appreciative to be relieved of the pain and the sores that he returned to say thanks. Oh, turning back, make no mistake about it, was an inconvenience. If it hadn't been, the other 9 would have done it. He had to turn back, change directions. He went out of his way. It took time and a heart of gratitude for him to do that. Notice in verse 13, that he had cried loudly for mercy. He lifted up his voice, it says, or they lifted up their voices. And when Jesus healed him, he glorified God with the same loud voice. Verse 15, with a loud voice glorified God. He could lift up his voice for his need, and when the need was met, he lifted up his voice in praise. That's a good pattern for us. Oh, we have a lot of prayer requests. Oh my, we want the preacher to pray about everything, and Wednesday night crowd to pray about everything, put this on the prayer request form, and then nobody hears about it again. Why? When God answers, shouldn't there be a response? Shouldn't there be the same fervency to make sure everybody knows God answered. God heard you. God heard me. And God answered my prayer. And he returned with a loud voice. Also notice that the one leper who was thankful to God was a Samaritan. Again suggesting that the other 9 were Jews anxious to return to their normal life. Instead of going directly to the priest, he became a priest. You get that? And built his altar at the foot of Jesus. Ooh, I like that thought. He eventually, I'm sure, went to the priest, but he came to the priest, the great high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. and he built an altar at the foot of Jesus. Jesus was pleased. However, he knew that he had healed 10. So he asked, but where are the 9? Where are the 9? Before you judge the 9 too harshly, how often do you and I take God's blessings for granted in our lives? Jesus takes notice of who is thankful and who is not. By the way, so do the giver of gifts follow that pattern. They do. Jesus keeps track of our thankfulness in verses 17 and 18. Jesus asked, where are the 9? He knew who he had blessed. And he knew how he had blessed them. He knew that he had answered their specific prayer for healing. And it was a big time healing. He knew that he had prayed, who had prayed and who he had answered. And he knew who'd asked for healing or provision. And he had run to their side with his benefits. And Jesus is sorrowful when they showed ingratitude. But where are the 9? One last thought this morning. Luke 17:19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. This is to the Samaritan who said thanks. Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus said that faith in God motivates us to take time to return and say thanks and worship God when he heals a situation in our life. But something else. One unusual man not only received physical healing that day, but he also received forgiveness of sin. How do you know that, preacher? Because literally, made whole means thy faith hath saved thee. That could happen here today. Not only your need met, but your soul saved. One person could come today to receive Christ as their Savior and leave here forgiven. Jesus would say to you, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.